Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord and our God and our Father in heaven, we have gathered ourselves together around thy holy word this morning in anticipation of thy guidance and direction. Thou knowest the needs of each and every one of us, and therefore we put our trust and our cares upon thee, that you will provide through thy holy word the words of encouragement, the words of strengthening, the words that we need as individuals. And so we commit this time into thy care and keeping. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord has laid upon my heart this morning to read out of the second book of Corinthians, chapter 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9.
Bratje naše, da se s Božjoj pomoći čita iz druge poslanice apostola Pavla Korinčanima, 9. glava. 2 Korinčanima, 9. glava.
For as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the frowardness of your mind, for which I boast of you in to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet if I sent brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest happy if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. And therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he shall sow bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. And whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. May God bless the reading of the word, and let us bow before him in prayer. As I mentioned, the Lord has laid it upon my heart, this chapter. And what the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians about was a bounty that was needed to help the poor in Jerusalem. There were many poor people, and he was in the city of Corinth there, and he was talking about those in Macedonia that had contributed. The bounty that he's talking about, a bounty is nothing more than a generous gift. And so he was referring to this bounty, as he calls it here, to remind the Corinthians that about giving to this contribution, to this need that was in Jerusalem. And he wasn't alone in this. He was, it was quite a responsibility because of the amount of money that he had collected, actually. And so he talks about this in here, but first he says it, he said it's superfluous me for me to write to you about touching this administering. And in the previous chapter, he talked about them contributing to this cause, and he also sent, as it mentions in the third verse, he says, yet have I sent brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, and this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. And so he sent brethren ahead of time. We read in the chapter previous that Titus was also involved in this contribution and this distribution to the saints. And then it mentions about another brother that was an upstanding brother, and one that was well respected in the church, chosen by the church as well, to go ahead of him to make this collection in Corinth ahead of time. And that's what he's talking about here, that lest happily if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. So he sent them ahead to make this, to collect this money, if you will. And so that they would not get there and then they didn't know anything about it. They had excuses, maybe who knows why, that they didn't have any money to contribute. And so he made it a point to send them ahead so that they would make this collection and that they would be ready when he came. So we see here that as he talks about this, he said, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye have noticed therefore before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as covetousness. So he wanted them to realize, he wanted them to give from their heart. He wanted, and we can take this and apply it to our lives. He wants us to give, whether it's financial, whether it's a personal help, whether it's a prayerful life, whatever it is that we give, he wants us to do it willingly. And this is what he's writing to the Corinthians. Not of covetousness, or not because you think it's just a necessary thing to do, but you need to do it from the heart, do it willingly. And this is what he's referring to here when he said this here, that they would be ready the same, and that the matter of a bounty, and as not as covetousness. But he said, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap so sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. In other words, what you sow, you shall reap. We read in Galatians also, in the sixth chapter of Galatians, where the apostle writes to them, and here's what he says. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So what he's saying here is, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Referring to, for an example, that he that sows seed, And if you just spread just a little bit of seed and it grows, you're not going to get much of a yield. But if you spread seed, plenty of it, heavy, all over, you're going to get a better yield. And this is what he's saying. And this is what he's referring to them. This is what he's encouraging them to do. Not to give, maybe I just give a few bucks and that'll be good enough. No. He wants us to sow heavily because of the great need. And we can see even in this day and age, there are people that are in need. And we have collections oft times here that we help one another. But are we willing to sow sparingly, or are we willing to sow bountifully? Just whatever the heart, whatever's in our heart. And that's what he's saying here. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. So in other words, we're not to look at each other and say, oh, well, he can give more. I can't afford that. I'm not going to give that kind of money. Don't worry about what the other one's giving. That ain't none of our business. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart to give, this is what he's saying to us here. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart to give, this is what we want to do. And if we know the need, we're well aware of the need, and this, I believe, maybe oft times happens when we don't really know of the need. We don't understand. When we was in camp, they have a monthly or a collection on Monday morning for the missionaries. And it wasn't but a few days later they made an announcement that the missionary collection was really down. Why is that? Is it because you don't know? Is it because you don't have the money? Is it because you don't want to give? Is it because God didn't lay it on your heart? Whatever the excuse might be, one thing, if we don't know the need, that definitely has a reflection on the amount given. I can assure you that. But if we're well aware of what the need is, and in the mission field, there are many needs. Every one of the mission that we know of, that we write and that we make a collection for, they're all struggling. The donations have dropped off considerably. That's not understandable. Don't know exactly why. People this day and age are making more money now than they ever made in their life. People's wages are high. And yet the giving is so down. Why is that? Is God not laid it upon your heart to consider this giving as he writes to here? Are we just willing to sow sparingly? However we sow, that's how we're going to reap. And that applies to what we read in Galatians, our spiritual life. If we sow to the flesh, that's what we're going to reap. If we sow to the Spirit, that's what we're going to reap. It's a simple matter. It's a simple thing to understand. And this is what I believe the apostles writing to the Corinthians concerning them there. He laid it all upon their hearts. They in Macedonia were ones that give. They give willingly. They sowed bountifully. And so he was laying it on to their heart to realize it so that they understand. Look, there's a need. There was a need in Jerusalem. There were a lot of poor people. As a matter of fact, that ain't too much different than today. If you was to look into the situation in Jerusalem, there are many people that have moved to Israel just because they're Jewish. They found that their roots and their need is to be in Jerusalem or to be in Israel. Not even necessarily Jerusalem, but at least Israel. And there are many there that are without jobs. They're on like a welfare system, which isn't even very, very good there in Israel. And so there are a lot of poor people there, even to this day and age in Israel. And so that's no different than what the Apostle Paul was writing about here and the experience that he had for all them poor people. And so I believe what the Lord is trying to tell us that we have to have, we should have a somewhat of a heart and a mind for poor people. We have them everywhere. They're not only in Israel, but they're here in our own country. Many places. People are struggling. They just don't have the funds. Why? Who knows why? Maybe they overspend, maybe they don't have much income. I mean, there could be numbers of reasons why people are hurting. And usually it's because many people overspend. Many people spend what they don't even have. And this is a problem that we've had in this country when they had so much trouble with their credit cards. Everybody was, put it on the credit card. You need it, just go to the credit card. You need this, go to the credit card. The next thing you know, the credit card was maxed out. What do? They go get another one and max that one out. It became a problem in our country, not realizing you got to pay that back. You got to pay for that one way or another. So we need to be aware of our income, what our expenditures are. But when it comes to giving, we're to give what the Lord lays upon our hearts to give. And it's so easy. And I'd be honest with you, I've done this before. I remember when I was working and I was raising a family and we needed things and so my giving, to be quite honest, wasn't all that great. Because I always thought, well, the kids need this and they need something else and we need this and we need, and it's always like an excuse what I made to why I didn't find it necessary to give. It's wrong. I'm sorry. I had to repent of that. And I have learned, if I sow sparingly, then I would reap sparingly. And so this is what the Apostle Paul is saying to us here in this letter to the Corinthians. That's not only for the Corinthians. That's not only for those in Macedonia. That's also for us in here in West Akron, or any other place we live, for that matter. We're to realize and understand that there is a need. And if we don't know what it is, then I believe it's our responsibility as a believer, as a child of God, to know what the need is. If you don't know, then you find out. Make some effort to find out. And once you find out, you will see, yes, there are needs. Now, granted, we can't give everything we got away. We have to have a certain amount of money. We got only so much comes in. We got our bills. That's all well and good. I understand that. But is that the only thing that we're focused on? And care less about anybody else that is in need? So you see, I believe that the Lord has landed on our heart here this morning to take and realize and understand that there are needs and that we have a responsibility, because if we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. And so he mentions, he goes on to say, he says, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. What does that mean to us? Are we giving because, oh, we had a sermon last Sunday, so that I better give because that's what the sermon is about. That's like giving grudgingly. If you don't have a cheerfulness in your heart to give and to help, then you might as well not bother. It's that simple. There has to be that cheerful desire in your heart and ask God, pray to God, give me this desire, give me this understanding that people are in need. And that I could contribute in some way or another. And believe me, all you got to do is find out where some of the needs are, and there are plenty. But you see, if we don't bother, how easy it is to go on in life, just live the way we want to live. We live maybe in our means, maybe not in our means. Who cares about the poor? That's their problem, not mine. You see, that's grudgingly. That's not right. And so I believe that this is what the apostle is trying to convey to us here. God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having an all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So you see, what he's saying here is God will supply your needs. If you're in need, if you give bountifully, not sparingly, God will supply that. That's what he's saying here. And you see, I look at it this way. When I was so concerned about my needs and what I needed, you know what? I wasn't really putting my trust in God. I was putting my trust in what my responsibility, what my family needed, and my source of income, and I trusted that as long as I was working, I had money, I'm okay. If I didn't work, I was... You see what you're doing? You're putting your own... on your own trust. That's your own self. We got to trust the Lord. We got to believe that He will supply the needs. But if you're so focused on your own self, you won't have that. You won't see that God. You won't even trust the Lord. The Lord will see to it that you've got plenty. And that's what he's saying here. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Simple. You just got to read it and you got to understand it. You see, this is not a chapter that we dwell on very often. Probably have very seldom read it. But it's a part of our Christian walk of life. You know, we say we love the Lord, we love our brother, we love our sister, we got love. But our pocket and our wallet is so tight, we can't even get it out and contribute. Because we're more worried about, what if I need it? What if I need it? What if I need it? And that what if is always there. And Satan will see to it that. Don't worry about that. Put your trust in the Lord. He'll see it to it that you have enough. That's what it's saying here. And we need to put our trust and our cares in Him. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness reigneth forever. Remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. It ain't any plainer than that. That's putting your trust in the Lord, and He will see you through no matter what. Because it says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. And so this is another thing. You know, when you think about giving, and you're concerned about yourself, you're okay. Let's say we become a cheerful giver, and so we're just going to give what the need, what the Lord's led in my heart, we're just going to give. Remember this: not only are you going to receive a blessing from your own heart and your own mind that you was satisfied with what the Lord had laid on your heart to give, but those that have received, it turns around and they give thanks to God. So you see, there's a twofold thing here. Not only He's made you satisfied, but He's made the receiver satisfied, and the thanks is given to God. So this is what He's saying to us here. That thanksgiving to God is just as important as the giving. And that happens. And that's what He's saying here. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. So you see, when we give, we have no idea how far and wide someone is going to appreciate it. Someone's going to thank God for the need. Someone is going to be thankful to God because it came through. Maybe in time. Maybe it was what they need. Whatever the case may be, we may never know that. And we don't need to know that. Don't worry about that. And to be honest with you, in giving, yes, I would like to see some some accountability, maybe some appreciation. Sure. I would like to see that. But if I don't get upset because you didn't. Just give. And this is what God expects of us. Just give. Don't worry about the results. And believe me, I believe that the Lord will be praised, the thanks will be given to him. I may never know that, but I don't need to know that. That's not my business. My business is to give and give it sparingly or bountifully, not sowing sparingly, just giving whatever the Lord lays on my heart, just give it. Don't worry about it. And this is what I believe he's really trying to explain and say to us in this chapter. So as he goes on to say, whilst by the experiment of this administration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. So glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel. So you see, this is part of the gospel message that we're fulfilling. We're doing what Christ would do. Christ would do this. He gave, and we consider what he gave. You realize that he became poor, that we could become rich, only because he left the splendor of heaven. All the riches, the best that he could have is in heaven. He left that, came down on this earth, died for us, shed his blood, and rose the third day to make us rich. Rich in money? No. Rich in faith? Rich in towards God? Rich in our Christian walk of life? This is where we need to be rich, in our spiritual walk of life. And if we neglect, if we sow sparingly, you're going to become poor in your spiritual walk with life. It's as simple as that. Let us understand. Let us realize the meaning of this portion of Scripture, that we, as believers, and profess to be his children, that we might be subject unto the gospel of Christ. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And so when we realize how Christ gave up his riches, became poor, that we might become rich, that we can give God the glory, that we can be thankful for our very soul salvation. And just as thankful as we are for our soul salvation, those that would receive of this gift that they give is just as important. That we be mindful that we have become rich, and we can read in the Scriptures many of the riches that God pours out upon us. As I look at my life and I think of the many blessings that I have received over the years, I can't count them. It's been more than I can count. And I thank God for that. And so I find a need and necessary to share that with others, not only financially, but however I can. In word, in actions, my life, the way I live, this is following the gospel message of Jesus Christ. This is living for him. This is our Christian walk. And we need to be well aware, by our giving, by our desires, and God knows the wants and needs of each and every one. So may God bless these words upon our heart as we leave room for our brother in the spirit, in the serving life.
A koji daje seme sijaču, daće i hleb za jelo i umnožit će seme naše i daće za uzrastu žita pravde vaše, da se u svemu obogatite za svaku prostotu koja kroz vas čini hvalu Bogu. Jer služba ove poreze nis, ne ispunjuje samo nedostatak svetijeh, nego čini da se i mnoge hvale daju Bogu. Ovo što je važno, ljubazni, da iz svega što radimo, da u svačemu što pomognemo, da li bilo u novčanom smislu, da li bilo da se molimo za nekoga i na taj način, ljubazni, da se okrenemo Gospodu, ili da pomognemo nekome, ili samo nekome, ili samo da budemo dragi jedni prema drugome. Krajnji rezultat, krajnji cilj treba da bude da Gospod dobije hvalu i slavu svega ovoga. Možda ja neću dobiti nikad hvalu, jer možda neko neće ni znati da sam se za njega molio. Ili da sam mu pomogao. Možda neću ja dobiti nikada hvalu, ljubazni, ali da me to ne brine. Ako Gospod Bog dobije hvalu iz svega toga, to je jedini način koji treba da nam bude važan. I kako je brat spomenuo, da uvek imamo oko nas oni koji su u potrebi. Uvek imamo one možda koji nisu toliko blizu nas, koji su u potrebi, ali ako ja želim da saznam, ako ja želim da pomognem nekome, onda ću da nađem načina, onda ću da nađem vreme, onda ću da nađem priliku da budem blagoslov nekome, a na hvalu i slavu Gospodu. I koliko želim sebi, ljubazni, da mi Gospod da u moje srce da mogu da živim moj život na takav način, da budem blagoslov nekome na ovoj zemlji, na ovome svetu. Toliko želim da svako jedan od nas, da možemo da dobijemo taj mir i tu radost u naše srce kroz to da pomognemo i da pomognemo dragovoljno, da pomognemo izobilno. Želim da Gospod blagoslovi ovo malo reči, a njemu neka je hvala i slava od svina sad i do veka. Amin.
And we've worked for it. I believe we'd all confess freely that everything we have has come from the Lord. The rich giver of life has given everything that we have. And so if God has given unto us everything that we have, and he's asking us to give bountifully, we would do well to give bountifully. Because we've read here that if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly, and if we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. It's all the Lord's. It's all the Lord's. And Jesus said, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." This is what Jesus said. And so, as we have been given much, we are of this generation, of this time frame, we have been given much. We have been given much. And it all came from the Lord. What will we do with it? Let's be wise stewards of that which God has given unto us, that we would give and give bountifully. And when we do, knowing that it all comes from God and we're giving cheerfully because God has given it all unto us and we're giving it back to God, then we see a promise here, a promise, a beautiful promise in verse number 8. And it says, God is able. God is able. This is what God is able to do. He is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. The rich God who gives us freely everything that we have, our heartbeat, our ability to work, to make money, everything that we have, it's come from God. He wants us to give in return to him and to his people, to those who would have need, and it all glorifies God, and he's able then to make grace abound in return unto us. So perhaps we're being challenged this morning. Perhaps the challenge is, step out a little bit more in faith. Step out a little bit more in trusting. Give to the Lord, and see if he will not pour us out a blessing. May God bless his word upon our hearts this morning. Amen.